Well, next up on the High Velocity Radio Show, I am delighted to introduce the Vice President of Development for Junior Achievement of Georgia. Welcome to the show, Kristen Parker.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, Junior Achievement is something I think probably all of our listeners have heard of. I don't know about the majority of our listeners. I haven't really learned that much about Junior Achievement. Maybe we could start our conversation just give us a little bit of an overview about what it is you guys are out there doing for folks.
Sure. So Junior Achievement is a worldwide organization. Here in Georgia, we serve about 130,000 students across the state, and our mission is to inspire and prepare our students to succeed in a global economy. So we do that through programming in the classroom as well as experiential learning, and all of it is focused on financial literacy, entrepreneurship, and workforce readiness.
I think she's answered that question before.
Renee, I think she had a script.
Wow, that was
actually
really good.
Note to the audience, she did not have a script.
Yeah, no kidding. But we've got it recorded now, so she doesn't have to say it anymore. She can just hit the button, right?
Yes, that's right.
You know, you use the word students. So are school systems like your primary conduit to get to these kids?
They are. About 90,000 of the students that we serve are in the classroom. So we call those our core programs. JA has basically three levels of involvement. Core programs happen during the school day in the classroom. And then we have capstone programs, which happen at colleges and at businesses. And those are experiential programs. And then our legacy program is the JA Fellows, which students actually self-select into. So for our core and our capstone programs, it is the schools that are registering their students to participate.
Cool. And so what do you do for this outfit other than just hang out and have fun with folks like us?
Yeah. So my job ultimately is to make sure that the organization has raised enough money to be able to provide the programs to the students. Our programs are free of charge, and we are not a part of the United Way, and we don't accept government funding. So everything that we raise comes from corporations, individuals, special events, and family foundations.
So there's no government funding of this whatsoever?
Not for JA of Georgia. Now, Junior Achievement Worldwide, each area office gets to decide how they raise their funds independently, but here in Georgia, we've decided not to do that.
And if I can ask why, that's a courageous decision.
Yeah. So at least in the time that I've been at JA, the mindset has been that government funding typically has a lot of deliverables, evaluation, and I guess red tape that you have to go both in the application process as well as then the follow-up process, and it's just not something that we have the staff resources to dedicate the time to. So unless we are receiving funding through another entity that has gotten it from government funding, we don't apply directly for that.
I serve on the board of the Furniture Bank of Metro Atlanta, and our executive director, bless her angelic heart, spends most of her day just dealing with that bureaucratic red tape on these. But we need it because that's a large part of how we sustain ourselves. But that's so no federal, no state, or no local funds.
I think that the main reason why JA is able to be successful through the funding strategy that we have is because our mission resonates so well with the business community that it makes sense that the funds that they're investing are directly going to build up the future workforce for our state and the nation. And that's why they see a value in investing their resources, both in terms of time with their volunteers as well as funding.
So you're spending your time interacting with these companies and not necessarily individuals.
So my team specifically mainly works with the executive level who's making funding decisions, as well as what we call our JA champions, who are the folks that are actually driving the employee engagement and involvement. And then so the development team at JA is responsible basically for the stewardship of our partnerships. And then we have a programs team and a capstone team that then will actually work with the individual volunteers, make sure that they're having a successful experience. If they would like to donate individually, they provide them that opportunity and how to do that. And just make sure that their experience working with the students is a positive one and that they're enjoying it.
Now, the people delivering and executing on these programs that are out there interacting with these youngsters, are those paid staff or are these individuals that, from these corporations that are out there giving back to the community and contributing, or is it both?
They're giving back to the community. So here in Georgia, we have a little over 5,000 volunteers that are taking their own personal time out of their workday to go and teach students the programs that we provide, but then also infusing them with their own business experiences, which makes the programs relevant and kind of bring them to life. And it's that hook, like you talked about with the sales. The reason why schools like our programs is they are aligned to state standards, so we're helping the teachers accomplish what the state has set out for them to do, but it's an exciting way. It's very hands-on. It's all activity-based programs. And then the volunteers have all these experiences and stories to share that are all different. So every volunteer experience is going to be different because the kids are different. And every, for the kids, each volunteer that they have, K through 12th grade, is going to have different advice to share with them.
How does one become a volunteer to be a part of that? You said they had 5,000 volunteers.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of our volunteers come through corporate partnerships, but as an individual, you can get involved as well. We always have more demand than the volunteers we have to serve it. Mm-hmm. So if you go to our website, which is georgia.ja.org, you can actually click on the Donate Now button and register right there. And then one of our volunteer operations folks will follow up with you and find out what the right fit is in terms of the location that you want to be in or the area. It's actually a really exciting time right now for folks to be involved with JA of Georgia. We launched when the economy was plummeting over the last few years. We looked at that as an opportunity to really deepen and grow our programs. So instead of kind of hunkering down and saying we're going to ride out the storm, we actually launched a three-year growth campaign. So starting at the beginning of the school year that just closed, we have committed to increasing our student outreach by 50% in Metro Atlanta, which basically equates to about 50,000 students. So at the end of this first year, we've achieved 22% of that goal, and we've got two more years to accomplish that. But so every volunteer that comes on board with us and every funder that comes on board with us is directly helping to increase that student outreach and to deepen the impact.
So you're needing more volunteers.
We are definitely needing more volunteers.
All right, heads up, audience. There's a cool opportunity to really make a meaningful contribution.
Mm-hmm. And it's very turnkey. So as a volunteer, our most popular program is called Jay in a Day. And you basically sign up to be in the classroom from 8:30 until 1. So it's a half-day commitment. The training is roughly 1 hour. We do them either in person in our office. If it's a company volunteering, we go out and do the training on site at their office space. Or you can do an online training as well. So a one-hour training, you get your kit of materials, which looks like a mini briefcase with all your lesson plans mapped out for you. And then it's the day of, which is that half-day commitment, and you teach all of your lessons one after another, and then at the end of it, you've impacted roughly 30 students in your classroom, and you're off for the day, and it's as easy as that.
That is really cool. That would have to be a very rewarding experience to spend time with kids like that.
I can't imagine. Yeah, I'm thinking you and I ought to look into that.
Well, we should, and I think we could introduce her to a very high net worth individual who produces radio shows, get her connected to some rich people like that. I mean, we got connections, right?
Yeah.
And I think we should make it clear, though, based on the conversation that we're having here, High Velocity Radio is not a member of United Way either, but we do gladly accept government funding.
Absolutely.
So I've heard you talk a little bit and position JA as a change agent, and I can see why. And among other things, including the growth campaign, I've also heard a little bit about this digital learning initiative. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, definitely. There's a few areas to our growth campaign, and one of the main ones is technology enhancements, and there's two facets to that for us. One of them is building our internal infrastructure so that our staff can do more with the same amount of resources. So that's part of it, but the other part that's really exciting is when it comes to the education side. So we have launched, we're actually piloting this fall in partnership with SAP and Premier Global, a remote volunteer delivery system. And what that's going to be is Premier Global has launched a new product called iMeet, and it basically is a glorified Skype. And what it allows a volunteer to do and the students to do is to be in a computer lab, all at their own computers. They create avatars, and the volunteer is going to be in their office logged into this same virtual classroom through the iMeet platform, and everyone logs in and the class is taught remotely. So the volunteer will be on the phone, can be on webcam. The students will all have their avatars and all be popped up in this virtual classroom. And that's how the class is going to be taught. So we're going to be piloting that in 5 classrooms this fall at schools in North and South Fulton. And SAP and Premier Global are going to provide those volunteers as well as the resources and the technology thought leadership behind it.
That rocks. I love that. I just got on Skype like about 3 weeks ago because my daughter was up in Pennsylvania over the summer. And so I'm feeling all technically competent. But what a great way to apply technology.
Yeah,
I understand you guys are making a real concerted effort to reach out to the Hispanic community as well.
We are. So J of Georgia, we're a very innovative local area office and have been recognized multiple times through our worldwide organization for that. And they basically look at us to be the front runner on programs. So here in Georgia, it has been increasing, but we're still at about 75% of students graduating high school, which leaves 25% that are not. Of the 25% that aren't graduating, about half of them are Hispanic students. So in Georgia, I think it's been 8 years now, we launched a Hispanic outreach initiative. It piloted for 3 years, and the goal was to put a Spanish-speaking Hispanic volunteer in front of the students in the schools where there was a high Hispanic population so that they had a role model to identify with, could see that the cultural and language barriers that they were facing could be overcome, and that they were hearing that from someone who had gone through it themselves. That is now a full-fledged part of our curriculum. There's supplemental lessons that go along with the traditional JA programming, as well as that Hispanic volunteer, as well as some out-of-school activities and parent involvement pieces to that. But we served this past year 12,000 Hispanic students in Georgia.
Wow.
With that program. And 2 years ago, it actually rolled out nationally to 6 other JA areas that also had high Hispanic student populations in their respective areas.
Let me shift away for a second from JA and talk about the world of nonprofits. Mm-hmm. Stone and I do a lot of work for different nonprofits, and I mentioned the one I'm on the board. All struggling, all laboring, trying to figure out how to bring in the resources to do their mission. You have any advice for others in sitting in with your title in these organizations, how they can begin to kind of address this? Any thoughts, advice, counsel?
I think that the main thing, although the last 2 years have definitely been difficult, we have weathered the storm and we've come out ahead of the game in terms of increased support, financially ending with a surplus both of the last 2 years. And I think that the reason is because we recognize the value of our relationships, and that is our focus. So when our partners were cutting other areas, although they may have cut back on us, they didn't cut us completely. And I think that it speaks to the strength of the relationships and that we don't view it as a one-way street where we're always taking. We try and give back to them, whether it be in recognition, statistics, answering priorities or needs that their company has set off or set for their strategies, and just trying to really it be a partnership and it not be a we need your volunteers and we need your money, that we're giving something back to them as well. And the other part of it is that it's non-negotiable. You can't fail. And just having that mentality and attitude and searching out new sources of support constantly is what has kept us on top, both from volunteers and funding.
I think your decision organizationally to seek out an aggressive growth plan when everybody else was trying to tread water,
I think this
really speaks to why you guys are succeeding. Even though the economy was slow, there still was a lot of people out there, a lot of organizations that wanted to help in some way, shape, or form. And I think they see an organization that's like that, and they say, "Oh, that's the kind of group, innovative group of individuals we want to be a part
that's
of."
That's right. So and I people like Lee, who had money before the storm hit, they still have money now, right?
But I think it's kudos to you for aggressively seeking that course in the storm.
Yeah,
I think that was a big...
And there were opportunities, because when people were losing their jobs, they still wanted to do something, like you said. And for folks, too, a lot of people we have found that have gone back to school, a lot of people that were either going back to school or searching for new jobs had more time. So instead of volunteering once, they were volunteering 2 to 3 times in a year. And it provided... it's about the partnership. It provides them a great thing to have on their resume. It's business-related volunteer work. They can speak to the public speaking aspects of how it helped them, as well as being able to kind of shape the minds of these students. And again, it just made their relationship with us deeper.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I'm out there looking for a job, why wouldn't you want to contribute and volunteer and do something? I can't think of a better way to help build your personal brand.
I can't either. And imagine sitting in an interview and the guy, you know, he asks you a question about anything business related and somehow you work in, well, last month when I was volunteering for Junior Achievement, I mean, you work that into the conversation, right?
Yeah. And it's funny too. I mean, it's not funny. It's great that we are partnered here with about 200 companies. So outside of just volunteering in general as being a great thing, I'm volunteering with JA. When you go into the interview, there's a pretty good chance that the company you're interviewing with is partnered with Junior Achievement. And when they see that you volunteered with them in the past, it's a great segue and a way to make you stand out.
You said you had 5,000 volunteers. Mm-hmm. That's local, right? That's in Metro.
There's 4,000 in Metro Atlanta. And then we have 5 other area offices across the state. So the rest of those volunteers come from those areas.
My point is, that's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who donates time like that to an organization like this is generally probably a good person who's successful and cares about the community. That's the kind of person you want to be connected with. So to have a relationship, to have a rapport with someone like that is good for your career.
I think it's terrific. Yeah. Well, and I tell you, evidence of that, the last time you and I saw each other and had enough time for even a little bit of a conversation was at this NetWeavers Pay It Forward kind of event. And you're talking, I mean, it was a room full of that caliber of people. It's where it's how we were able to get Tom Crawford. He wasn't at that event. I think he had another commitment, but that's how we got to Tom Crawford. And the room was just chock full of people that fit that exact description. Absolutely. Speaking of events, what kind of things do you guys have coming up? Do you have any fundraising events or cool stuff like that coming up?
Oh, always. We were joking the other day that July had always been our slow month, but with this growth campaign, that doesn't really exist anymore. So we are in full planning mode as the school year is quickly about to kick off again. Our first event this fall is actually going to be our JA Bowl-a-thon, and that is a community-wide event. We have it in the in November as well as in the spring, and basically individuals form teams and they fundraise online just like you would do for a walkathon or any other sort of event that you do like that, and you just raise money and everybody comes out and celebrates on one day at various bowling alleys and they just have a good time. So it's officially called our Bowl-a-rama, and the theme is to be determined, but I think we're leaning towards Grease Lightning this year. So it's a lot of fun. People dress up, but again, all online driven. You send emails to your family and friends. Individuals have a goal to raise $200, and if you're on a team, a goal of $1,000, and you get an awesome bowling pin trophy at the end of it.
Oh, I like it. The High Velocity Radio bowling team. What do you think?
I like it.
That could be really cool. What is the best way for our listeners to learn more about volunteer opportunities or about getting their kid involved in JA? How do they contact you? What's the best way to learn more?
Yeah, so the website is the best place to kind of grab information. It's www.georgia.ja.org. And on there, you can watch videos of volunteers in the classroom, learn more about our programs, sign up to volunteer directly, sign up to donate directly. And it also will link you to our legacy program, which I mentioned, the JA Fellows. And that is one I wanted to mention a little bit about it because we're actually in recruitment stage for that right now. It's a program. It happens after school. There's about 300 students that go through it. And like I mentioned before, they self-select. You have to go through an application process. But that is the deepest experience that a student can get with us, and the crux of it is that they actually start, manage, market, and then liquidate their own company. And so they go through the entire cycle of starting a business and then seeing how you close it out if you were to sell it or to close up shop, and lots of competition, scholarship opportunities involved in that. And so you can get more information and link to their direct website through our main one as well.
That is cool. You know, and you mentioned video, and we found one and we have posted on our High Velocity Radio page today. Of course, that page is always turning over, and there'll probably be a different video on there later in the week. But I bet it's fun to, with video or without video, to go around and talk to the kids that have been through these programs and hear the stories from the JA alumni. That's got to be very rewarding.
It is. It's exciting, and especially with the Fellows program, because we have closer relationships with them because we see them more often. To see the transformation that happens in them from when they start with us until then when they graduate from high school is actually like pretty astounding. And for me, as someone who does not have children or nieces or nephews yet, to see someone evolve and transform like that, it kind of makes you recognize why when you have mentors, they're so proud of you, or when your parents are so proud when you accomplish things. It's just a really neat thing. And hearing stories from our alumni as well, they always remember their JA experience. And the whole reason that Fellows program started was because Bernie Marcus was a JA kid in the Northeast. Credits JA is the reason why he is where he is today.
Wow.
And he challenged us 5 years ago to come up with a program that was going to impact students like the one that he had gone through. And the Marcus Foundation provided that startup capital for the program for the first 3 years, funded it in full. And now we're, you know, starting to sustain it through other resources as well as their support. But that's how it came to be. And it was all because of him having that experience with JA years ago.
That's a pretty good testimonial.
That's a pretty solid testimony. That's inspiring. Incidentally, I was only half kidding about the rich guy in the booth running, turning all the dials back there. And actually, we talked about it a little bit last week when he knew that you were coming on the show. And you guys are so innovative. I think it's probably worth entertaining. How cool would a Junior Achievement radio show be? Would the kids like interviewing business leaders or something? I mean, that would be cool. But, I mean, you guys have so much innovative, creative, cool stuff going on.
They would love it, believe me. You know, everyone's me, we already talked about. They like to hear themselves talk too. But it's great practice for them also to just be practicing their public speaking, and interacting with executives is something that we provide to them as a part of that program. It would be a great experience.
Well, if you gave us enough heads up warning, we could probably put you in touch with someone that could help you with presentation skills.
Yeah,
that's right. We could do that too. And we'll talk to Gottrocks there in the booth and see if we get what we can't get worked out. Well, listen, you heard us do it in the other segment as we were talking to Renee Walkup, and we'd love to take advantage of the same opportunity with you. We have a little tradition here on the show where we like to ask guests if they would to share a mistake that they've made at some point in their career. And really what we're trying to get at is what they feel like they learned from it. Would you be willing to do that for us?
Of course. And mine is actually a lesson that I wish I had learned earlier. And it is all about those relationships again. I went through, now granted, I haven't been in my career extremely long, but I went through the first few years of it making a lot of acquaintances, but not actually building relationships. And I think that now, at this point in my career, recognizing the value and how that can affect your job and your ability to succeed is something that I wish I had known 5 years ago, because it would have been a change maker.